Following the prayer of the faithful, which is where we ended last week, we move into the next part of the Mass. The offertory chant begins, right? The gifts of bread and wine are brought forward by some of the faithful. And this is an external expression of what we're doing, right? The gift of ourselves that we're offering in the Mass to God. And this idea of bringing forward the best of what we have, if you remember in salvation history, everything's connected to what's going on in salvation history. But if you remember, even back in the beginning in creation, Adam's children, right, bringing forward Cain and Abel, bringing forward their offerings, and Abel bringing forward his very best, right? And that's what we're doing at the Mass. All the faithful, by virtue of our baptism, are anointed priest, prophet, and king. And we're going to talk more about the priesthood later in the year, specifically about our understanding of the different types of priesthood, right? The ministerial priesthood, which is what the priest at Mass has, and then the priesthood of all believers, the baptismal priesthood that we have as baptized people. What we need to understand today, however, is that the principal duty of a priest, whether it's a ministerial priest or those of us who are just baptized, is to offer sacrifice, right? That is the principal duty of a priest. So if we're to exercise our baptismal priesthood fully, we need to offer a sacrifice. And as we talked about previously, the only thing that we truly have to offer God is ourselves, right? He's given us, he's made us, he's created us, and he wants to receive us back, right? He has given our will to choose to love him, and so he wants us to offer that back to him, that love that he's given to us. So in other words, in the Mass, we need to unite our sacrifice, our offering of ourselves, to Christ's sacrifice. St. Paul talks about this in Romans 12:1. He says, "I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship." The ministerial priest, by virtue of the sacrament of holy orders that he's received, has been divinely appointed to offer the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, right, to the Father. And we have a divinely appointed office in order to offer ourselves. So we do this by uniting ourselves, our offering, our sacrifice, to Jesus Christ, his perfect offering. And we've talked about this previously, how the Mass is the wedding feast of the Lamb, how Christ is the groom, the church is the bride. And so in the Mass, what we're doing, what we're saying, is we're putting ourselves up on the altar with Jesus Christ, uniting ourselves to him, becoming one with him in that offering to the Father. Just as in marriage, the two become one flesh, we become one flesh with our Lord in the Eucharist. Obviously, in marriage, different a little bit, not in the sexual union, but there is a profound union that takes place. Jesus is saying to us, I'm giving everything that I am to you. I'm offering everything, even my very life, for you. I'm giving myself up for you. I'm dying for you. And our response to that should be the same, right? That we should give ourselves, offer ourselves, say that we will die for you also. We place everything that we are up on the altar, united to that perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ. What follows next in the Mass is the offertory prayer for the bread. The priest says, "Blessed are you, Lord God of all creation, for your goodness, through your goodness we have received the bread we offer you, fruit of the earth and work of human hands. It will become for us the bread of life." The priest can say these words quietly, like if the offertory chant is going on, he will just say this kind of very quietly, and we might not hear this, and we don't have our response. But if he's saying it out loud, we respond, "Blessed be God forever." Then a small amount of water is mixed with wine. A prayer is then said quietly. If there's a deacon present, the deacon will say it, but if not, then the priest. "By the mystery of this water and wine, may we come to share in the divinity of Christ, who humbled himself to share in our humanity." So the wine is a symbol of Christ's divinity. The water is a symbol of our humanity, and the joining together of both of them is a symbol of the incarnation. It also symbolizes our union, right, with Jesus himself. Just as the water cannot be removed from the wine, nothing can separate us from the love of Christ, as St. Paul says. Just as he prayed over the bread, the priest will then say the prayer over the wine and water, and again we respond, "Blessed be God forever." The bread and wine represent our unity with God and with one another. If you think about how the different species are made, right? You have the bread, it's different grains that kind of come together, are brought together and put into one loaf, if you will. And same thing with the wine, right? Many different grapes are pressed together in order to make the wine. And so we, as the body of Christ, are formed in such a way as to desire nothing of our own wills, or our own petty desires, if you will, but we become one with Jesus Christ, uniting ourselves to him and to his will, to do the will of the Heavenly Father. After the offertory prayers, the priest quietly prays the following prayer. With humble spirit and contrite heart, may we be accepted by you, O Lord, and may our sacrifice in your sight this day be pleasing to you, Lord God. This prayer makes it even clearer that we're offering ourselves in connection with the offering of bread and wine, which will become our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's so here that we must offer ourselves as a true sacrifice. As we read in Psalm 51, it says, the sacrifice acceptable to God is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. And then we see the priest kind of turn. There's like a little break in the action. The altar servers bring the water up, right? And he washes his hands. He cleanses himself. He says, wash me, O Lord, from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. And this recalls the practices in the Old Testament for the priesthood, how they would wash and prepare themselves. They had cleansing rites, if you will. Because the priest is going to be standing in the Holy of Holies, if you will. God is going to come down upon this altar and be present. And the priest is preparing his body, right, externally to represent what's going on internally. Finally, the priest asks the people for their prayers as he's about to begin the Eucharistic prayer. He says, pray, brethren, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father. And this is just another reminder, right? It should help us to always remember, right, what's about to happen, that the priest is about to offer the sacrifice of Jesus, and we're in union with that offering ours. This also recalls the request. A lot of things in the Mass are kind of connected with what's going on in the Gospels at the time of Jesus' passion. And this kind of calls to mind the request, remember, of Jesus as he's approaching the Garden of Gethsemane. He implores Peter, James, and John, right, to pray for him, right, as he goes off a little farther on. And this is what he's imploring us to do, to pray too, as he prepares for his sacrifice. So we, in the Mass, need to not neglect to pray as our Lord requests. And this is how we reply. May the Lord accept the sacrifice at your hands for the praise and glory of his name, for our good and the good of all his holy church. And this signifies the reality that as each of us united to sacrifice ourselves to the sacrifice of Jesus, it becomes one sacrifice. It is no longer ourselves as individuals out there and Jesus over here, but now we have become one body and we are being offered to the Father through the hands of the priest. Then the priest says the prayer over the offerings, and this changes according to the liturgical calendar, after which we say, Amen.